On today's Winning Cures Everything, what are the toughest places to play in college football? Texas lining up Lamborghinis for recruits. Who voted to sue Florida State in the ACC? On-field advertisements in college football, and a whole lot more.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Football. I've been watching it for 40 years.
Are you kidding me?
You're listening to Winning Cures Everything.
Game day, baby. Wake up or get out.
Here's your host.
A confident young man. A superb athlete.
Gary Seegers.
All right, let's get to it. Winning Cures Everything. It is the Monday, June 10th edition of the show, the Drive Home edition. I'm your host, Gary Seegers, at GaryWCE on all the different socials. Hopefully all of you are having a wonderful Monday, beginning of your week. The weather is pretty nice. I mean, it's warm, but here in Memphis, I mean, there was a time this morning where it was like 72 degrees. It was about 10:30 a.m. Typically, that's when it starts to get hot, but I mean, it was 72. It was nice. There was a few clouds in the sky. Sun was shining. Nice day to get back on track with Winning Cures Everything. That's right. So, as I explained over the weekend, if you listened to that episode, going to be doing more of these, two a week, audio only. Make sure that we get these knocked out. And then on the YouTube channel, I'm just going to have the previews, right? The team previews, conference previews, all that kind of stuff. Hopefully, you guys will watch over there, but make sure you are subscribed here. Leave a nice 5-star review. That would certainly help things out. And tell your buddies about it. Share the show. All that good stuff. All right, let's not waste a lot of time. The new format is going to be, basically, we've got the top headline, and then I'll have three other big stories, and then I'll go with four reports that are just quick hits, right? So we'll try and fit all these things in each time we do this show. It is always going to be college football related. There might be a story here or there. You guys know I like to talk about UFC. So I might fit one of those into formal reports or something along those lines. And sometimes I'm going to have a news of the weird. So that is the way that the show is going to go forward. But let's jump into it. Topic number one, the top headline. Reports are that EA College Football, their three toughest environments, the three most difficult places to play in the game, are number one, LSU, number two, Penn State, number three, Georgia. Now, I don't know that I necessarily agree that Georgia is one of the most difficult places to play. I think any SEC team has a pretty difficult environment if you really think about it. Georgia, I think, is considered a most difficult place to play because they've got a really good football team. But I don't think the environment necessarily adds to that, right? I think Georgia is just as tough to beat on the road as they are at home. Like, it's that's just a really good football team. So I don't think it necessarily makes much of a difference. I don't think their fans are any more intimidating than anything else, right? And that's not a slight to Georgia. I don't know that there's much of a difference between Alabama's Bryant-Denny Stadium and Sanford Stadium in Athens. I think they're both difficult places to play, partially because the team that's there is really, really good. So I think that's a big, big deal. The teams that I came up with, and I don't know that I'm going to rank these. I think LSU is probably number one, right? Tiger Stadium at night, there's a reason why people talk about that. That's the most desired place to go visit is Tiger Stadium at night. People want to go see that because it is a spectacle. I mean, the fans there are next level. But I think the same might could be said for Camp Randall at Wisconsin. I think the same, you know, Penn State is number two here. I think you could probably put Penn State up there because, I mean, Penn State, they have developed quite the environment there. There's a reason why they get very upset that they can't host Ohio State at night for the whiteout, right? Like Fox doing that big noon thing is really putting a cramp in their style. The teams that I came up with that I think have the most difficult environments in college football are the most difficult places to play. I came up with three right off the bat, right? Auburn, everybody knows about the juju that's in Jordan-Hare Stadium. So the voodoo that goes on there, especially for the Iron Bowl. But, I mean, it can happen any other number of times. I mean, crazy stuff happens in Jordan-Hare Stadium. Iowa, Kinnick Stadium, that place was a house of horrors for a long, long time. Now, the offense is putrid, but that bunch, they get after it. Right? Iowa is crazy. So Kinnick Stadium, for sure, definitely should be high on this list. Neyland Stadium, Tennessee, that is an incredible place to play. Now, I've been there and saw them just get wiped out before, but the fan base is fired up. And now, under Heupel, they are awesome at this point. They are really, really good. Now, I think they're 18-4 over the last 3 years at home. So, really, really freaking good. Let's talk some other teams that you might not think about. Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State is really good at home. So, playing there in Stillwater is difficult. That's a tough place to go win. Oklahoma State is 5-0, undefeated as a home underdog in the last 3 years. I think that they're just really good at home. So that's a difficult place to play. Utah, that's right, Salt Lake. Everybody remembers, I would imagine, back, 2 years ago, 2022, USC coming in there Saturday night, late night. I mean, it was absolutely raucous in that place. So, yeah, Utah, really difficult. Some places that you may not think too much about. Wyoming. Really difficult to go play in Laramie. The wind's whipping around everywhere. It's a tough place. Now, Craig Bowl is not there anymore, so we'll see exactly what the home environment looks like going forward. But that is a difficult place to play. The Alamo Dome, UTSA, that team's really good at home. And anytime you've got a dome situation for a really good G5 team, And again, this is a place that only holds about 30,000 people. Nothing too crazy. But man, it gets loud in there. And one more, NC State. Look, Raleigh is I think NC State is 18-3 over the last 3 years at home. This is a school that has not won 10 games in a regular season in forever. I don't know if they've ever done it. I mean, it has been so long. But Dave Doran just can't seem to get over that hump. But, man, he wins games at home. So 18-3 is pretty good. I think they're 5-2 outright as a home dog in the last 3 years. That's a tough place to go play. So Raleigh, very, very difficult. Very difficult to go into. And then, finally, I put a question mark next to this one on my notes. Is Boise a difficult place to play? Or is, you know, the blue turf, it's got this aura. But is this kind of the Georgia, Alabama, you know, whatever situation where, like, the team is just really good, and it's going to be tough to beat them anywhere. Like, I don't know that – I don't know what Boise's record is at home over the past 3 years. You know, the team has certainly dropped off a bit, that hence why they've had coaching changes, right? But I am curious. Like, I wonder exactly how fired up that fan base is. They've got a good fan base. I'm just curious exactly what the environment is like now. So, like, Fresno might have a really good home record, but do we really think that Fresno's home record is good because of the crowd, because of the environment? I don't know. Do me a favor. Reach out on Twitter and let me know what you guys think. What is the most difficult place to play in college football? I am very curious. Topic number two. First, just normal headline. Texas lined up a bunch of Lamborghinis outside of their football facility for official visit recruits. And there are people that are just absolutely fired up about this. Shannon Terry shared it and said, we got to get this out of college football, et cetera. I don't know that we do, right? I don't think that these Lamborghinis that were lined up were the ones that you're just going to hand to a recruit. I don't really have a problem with selling this, right? This is, you're putting this out there to show, hey, this is what you could be getting if you come to Texas and work your tail off. It doesn't necessarily say, hey, you sign with us, we're going to give you a Lamborghini, right? It's, here is what's possible. I don't know that this is any different than Nick Saban for years and years on social media sharing out the amount of money that Alabama draft picks made in the NFL, right? It's not guaranteeing you anything. And honestly, if Texas didn't have the resources, etc., if they didn't have all of these things, they wouldn't be trying to sell it. And if it, they wouldn't be trying to sell it if they didn't think that recruits would like it. Look, Georgia's quarterback, Carson Beck, went and bought a sports car that was like $200,000. Do we think that a Georgia quarterback like Carson Beck should be buying a $200,000 car? Probably not. But is that going to make him any less of a good football player? I mean, I don't think that that's the situation here. So, yeah, this is just a recruiting inducement. You know, we haven't seen it in a little while, but Ole Miss was doing some of the same stuff, right? They had like this really ridiculous sports car that they would pull onto the field at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. It's the same thing. So, yeah, do we think it's goofy? Sure. I'm sure a lot of people think it's goofy, especially the people that are much older. But man, when you were 16, 17 years old, like, you might think a Lamborghini is the greatest thing you've ever seen. Like, there's no telling. You could be super, super into cars when you're a teenager, and then by the time you're 25 and you realize how expensive these things really are and all that, you're not as interested anymore. A lot of things change over the years. But, you know, one thing that will never change is young men being attracted to young women and whatnot, and Texas has that in spades. Ole Miss has that in spades. Any SEC school basically has that in spades. So along with the Lamborghinis and whatever else, you're going to have cute recruiting directors and everything else, or recruiting assistants, not necessarily directors, but you get the point. So I don't have a problem with Texas doing this. I don't think it's ridiculous. I think it's how you got to play the game now. You got to sell people on the idea of this is what's possible. And I don't think it's crazy. So you guys tell me, again, at GaryWCE on Twitter. Let me know what you think about that one.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MACK25.
Topic number three here. The teams that voted to sue Florida State in the ACC. Because remember, schools had to vote to sue Florida State. Or at least for the league to sue Florida State, to counter-sue. And they're doing the same thing with Clemson. But Florida State finally got it revealed who actually voted to sue them. So they were able to see it in court. Matt Baker, Tampa Bay Times, Tampa Bay Tribune. Matt Baker. Matt Baker is the one that that reported this. And it turns out the only ones that did not vote to sue Florida State were Cal, Clemson, and North Carolina. Now, Clemson and North Carolina make a lot of sense, right? Clemson won because they brought their own suit against the ACC, and the ACC, of course, countersued them as well. North Carolina, a little bit surprising, or would have been really surprising before you heard all of that crap come out during the ACC meetings over in Myrtle Beach, right? And so that once you realize, oh, North Carolina's looking to get out of this league too, well, that made a lot of sense. The one that surprised, I think, everybody is Cal. Cal voting to not sue is a little bit surprising because they just joined the league, and that means that Stanford did vote to sue. So Stanford is trying to keep the ACC together. It makes you wonder if Cal is looking for a way to potentially get out of the ACC going forward. Like, they don't really want to be in the ACC, but they don't really have a better option right now. And I could totally understand that. Would Cal be one of those teams that would be willing to go back to the Pac-12 to join up with whatever Mountain West super bunch that Oregon State and Washington State are trying to put together? And we might talk about that a little bit on our next show. But that was surprising to me that Cal is one of those, along with Clemson and North Carolina. I mean, the three that everybody knows are wanting to get out of the ACC if it is possible. And I think anything's possible. It's just whether or not you're going to be able to get out for a cheap enough price, right? But that would be North Carolina, Clemson, and, of course, Florida State. Two of those have lawsuits against the ACC. North Carolina not going to bring a lawsuit, but will certainly take advantage of the situation if something were to come out of that. Topic number four. The NCAA approved on-field advertisements. So you can put smaller ones at the 25-yard line, caddy corner to something that might be in the middle. So, of course, you've typically got your your school logo at the 50-yard line. And then on the 25-yard lines, north and south, you are going to have your conference affiliation, right? So SEC logo goes at the top on one side and the bottom on the other. Well, in the other two spaces, you can now put brand advertisements. And you can even have a brand advertisement in the middle of the field at the 50-yard line. So, for example, if Alabama was comfortable with just having Alabama in the end zones, they could put a big old Mercedes-Benz logo just right in the middle of the field if they wanted to, if it was worth it to them. Because remember, this is a way to make back the money that the school is having to spend on players now. You've never had to pay players in the past, but you are going to have to start doing that going forward because of the House settlement. And we have not talked much about that because I've been MIA for a while, but we will eventually talk about the House settlement, etc. Right? I think it's $22 million a year that they have agreed to pay athletes. It's basically revenue sharing. But it's not so much revenue sharing if you're coming up with new ways to create revenue, but you're not sharing the additional revenue with the players, right? So it is a little ridiculous, but regardless. So Alabama, probably Mercedes. Ole Miss, I wrote down Zaxby's or Abner's or whatever. I mean, it could be any number of things with Ole Miss. LSU, I put down Caesar Sportsbook. But I think they've got rules against that now. They might put Raising Cane's on Tiger Stadium. Look, it's going to be funny to see who ends up doing this first. The traditionalist in me wants them to keep the advertisements off the field. But I'm not going to lie. They're eventually going to do this on jerseys as well. The NBA stuff on the jerseys didn't bother me very much, and I was a bit surprised by that. I think it depends on whether or not you're a capitalist or not. There are some things that I just want basic tradition on, right? And college football is typically one of those. But all tradition has gone out the window. And with all the different changes that have come up in the sport, I don't have a problem with them attempting to make money, right? Especially more advertising dollars. People are willing to pay egregious sums of money to have their name on something. So, yeah, it would kind of make sense. Alabama might have, like, Alexander Shannara on a bunch of their stuff. So there ain't no telling. It's very interesting. Auburn probably going to have Yellowwood, right? Isn't that who their big booster is? Used to be, was it Citibank or somebody, whoever it was that Bobby Lauder, like whatever bank he controlled. Ain't no telling. I don't know if banking can get involved with collegiate athletics. But regardless, the question that I've got is, I think the G5 ones are going to be interesting to watch, right? There is a world where the MAC and CUSA brands might be bigger than the Sun Belt or even like the AAC because of the TV midweek audience, right? Because there are sometimes, I mean, you can get close to 1 million people watching Central Michigan and Eastern Michigan on a Tuesday night in November. And now, of course, we've got, good gracious, CBS Sports Network. And I guess ESPN, I think we'll see. But CUSA games come on midweek, Tuesdays and Wednesdays, in October now. And that's the TV deal that they came up with. So Jacksonville State and Western Kentucky or Liberty and whoever, like all of these different schools can come up with different advertisers. And one of the differences is going to like whether or not you do game by game or a full season, right? Some advertisers are going to want to do the full season, but some might just want, you know, for a big game. Hey, I'll give you $150,000, and it might be supply and demand. Hey, we're going to have a big TV audience for this. Who wants to jump in? And of course, you can go out and paint the field and put the logo down and whatever. I think it's just going to be very interesting going forward. So it doesn't bother me that much. But again, there are some traditionalists out there that might really get fired up about this, and I'm curious to see about the MAC and the CUSA ones. All right, four more reports to close this thing out. Number one here, 32 teams return their quarterback, head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and their strength and conditioning coach. But there are only three that return a third-year quarterback with that group, and that would be Ole Miss, Texas, and surprise, surprise, Utah. Now, I tweeted this out earlier, We'll see what you guys think about that. But Utah, Cam Rising coming back. He has played for, this will be 3 years in that system. He's been injured a lot, but he is super familiar. So if he can stay injury free, those three teams are ones to watch out for. So just tossing that out there. Number two, Notre Dame announced last week they are hosting Boise State October 4th, 2025 in South Bend. And I started doing a little bit of research because it was only that one game date that was announced, and it is a one-off. Boise is getting $1.35 million to go play at at South Bend, at Notre Dame Stadium. And I think that Notre Dame realized that they had to beef up their home schedule for their television partners. So you got to come up with something. Boise is one of the only G5 schools that actually produces an audience whenever they play. There's a reason why Fox likes to put them on every now and then. There's a reason why they get picked for bigger games on ESPN and whatnot. So Boise and Notre Dame, going to be a big one. Hopefully it is not a Peacock game, but we'll see. We'll see. Number three, Christian Capel over at onmontlake.com. He reports that Washington, their move to the Big Ten required construction of an on-campus production studio. And the price tag with that is $30 million. So basically, everything that they're going to make in their first year, or almost everything that they'll make in their first year in the Big Ten, because remember, they're only taking a half share, it's going to go to that production studio. $18 million of it is construction. $6 million of it is to replace the old Pac-12 studio equipment that they had before. And, you know, the Pac-12 studios, everybody had one in the Pac-12. Everybody had their on-campus stuff for television programming and whatnot. And apparently, that stuff was all bunk. I mean, you noticed a big difference in Pac-12 broadcasts against other schools' broadcasts, other conferences, right? So Washington here is going to have to spend, and I would imagine that this is going to be the same for Oregon, for USC, and for UCLA, but it was reported through Washington. So cheers to Capel over at onmontlake.com. And then finally, number four, bowl season schedule was released last week. I've not been here since to talk about that, but the bowl games start the same day as Army-Navy, and yes, it's more football. I don't know how I feel about it yet. I mean, that day is typically like Army-Navy and then the Heisman. And I'm just, I don't know. The other big thing was there are 8 bowl games on Saturday, December 28th now. 8 bowl games. 7 of them on ESPN networks. So ESPN, ESPN2, ABC, whatever, right? There's no NFL that day. It's the last week of the regular season. Did we have to do 8 games on one day? Could we not space it out more over Christmas week? This bowl season thing, and of course, they are spreading them out even further to have more bowl games leading up to the playoff games. And I guess if you're ESPN, you want to do that to keep people interested in college football, because we're going to have several bowl games after January 1st. And I got to tell you, it feels weird. I don't know if I like having this much college football going that deep into the calendar. You know, I love college football, and I am going to watch the crap out of all of it. But I am just not sure about the schedule. I mean, it just seems weird. But, hey, I mean, to each their own. I'm sure we'll figure this out. Everybody's trying different things this year, so why not just flip it around? Why not just do whatever? So we shall see. All right, that is going to wrap things up for me. Remember, of course, subscribe to the podcast. Leave a nice 5-star review. I would certainly appreciate that. And you can reach out to me, of course, at GaryWCE on all the different socials. That would be Twitter or X and Instagram and TikTok. I think those are the three. Those are the three big ones. So, yes, go ahead and do that. Reach out. Make sure you are subscribed. Subscribe to the YouTube. because team previews, conference previews are coming soon. So knock those out as well. Don't forget about the BetUS College Football Show, Wednesday, January 9th. We will be back there, and we are going to start breaking down early season games. So make sure you are subscribed on YouTube. There is a link in the description for that as well. I think I got everything. Hey, let me tell you right quick. TicketSmarter. TicketSmarter.com. Use the promo code WCE10 to get $10 off an order of $100 or more, or WCE20 to get $20 off an order of $300 or more. TicketSmarter treats me well. Hopefully they will treat you well, and we should be good. All right, with that said, take care of yourself, take care of each other. God bless college football, and hopefully all of your tickets cash this week.
Thanks for listening to Winning Cures Everything. Make sure and subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app, and make sure to leave a nice 5-star review. You can follow Gary on Twitter at GaryWCE, and the show is at Winning Cures. Be sure to check out the merch in our web store and share the show.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.